for the kingdom of heaven is like. With that introductory phrase, Jesus lets us know what this teaching that he is desiring for us to learn is really all about. I always find it very helpful when the teacher announces the point of the class to the class before the class actually begins. That way we students know where this whole thing is going and what we're supposed to get out of it all. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's not about what the kingdom of earth is like. And so we want to be sure to make that kind of distinction in our own minds before we begin listening to this parable itself. This is about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. And so this parable about the workers in the vineyard is not about creating jobs, politically contemporary as that might be. It's not about minimum wage standards and what they should or shouldn't be. And it's not about economies or business practices. This is kingdom of the world sort of stuff. Just imagine for a moment if you just tried to apply the details of what Jesus outlines in this parable of the workers in the vineyard to the workplace today, and you paid everyone the same amount of money, no matter if they worked a full day or if they just kind of showed up right before quitting time. That simply would not work. It just doesn't apply. In the worldly realm, there are distinctions that are made between men and women, and based oftentimes on the work that is done and the performance that is achieved. Managers tend, generally speaking, to get paid more than the hourly do. People who work with their hands and do hard physical manual labor oftentimes do not get paid as much as people who just sit behind a desk and never get their hands dirty. People with a college degree, studies show, tend to earn more on average than those who do not have a college degree. We make these kinds of distinctions among us in the world. And whether you agree with these distinctions or not, whether you think that these distinctions are always fair or right or good, or some of them actually need maybe to be changed, the fact is we live with them in this world. And this is the way the world works. It simply wouldn't be fair if everyone were paid the exact same amount regardless of the amount of work they do. It just doesn't work like that in the world. But Jesus begins this lesson by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And as we see, it is certainly not what the world is like. The distinctions that exist in the worldly realm simply do not exist in the heavenly realm. Everyone, from the first to the last, is paid the exact same amount. There is no distinction between anyone before God. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the very reason that Jesus feels that he needs to teach a lesson like this is obviously because this is not something that we understand, not something that we already know. This is not common knowledge. In fact, as we heard St. Paul remind us last week, the wisdom of the wise don't get this. The wisdom according to this age doesn't understand this. And so we need to be taught what the kingdom of heaven is like. Our problem here is we think that we do know what the kingdom of heaven is like on our own. And our thoughts begin with the assumptions that the kingdom of heaven must operate, to some degree anyway, something like the kingdom of this world. Because after all, that's what we know. That's the experience that we've had. We make distinctions among ourselves because, after all, that's only fair. Therefore, we think that in the kingdom of heaven, God also must make distinctions between those who work hard and those who don't work hard, those who work long and those who barely break a sweat or get their hands dirty. After all, that's only fair. But the kingdom of heaven is not like that, says Jesus. No, says Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways, says the Lord. And so a lesson is necessary to teach the truth about our life before God in the kingdom of heaven. And the one who is qualified to do this teaching is none other than the King of heaven himself, the Son of God, Jesus. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard, and agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. By the middle of the parable, we've already been informed that a typical working day in Jesus' time was 12 hours long. 12 hours was the typical working day. And so what we hear here is that the master of the house himself goes out into the village to hire laborers, and he goes out, first of all, at 6 a.m., first hour of the day. And he finds a bunch of people who are willing to come to work for him, and they negotiate a bit on just what the pay will be, and they decide on a denarius, a day's wage, and they go to work in the vineyard. And then 3 hours later, at 9 a.m., the master of the house goes out again, hires more, sends them into the vineyard. At noon, he goes out again, hires more, sends them into the vineyard to work. At 3 p.m., he goes out again, hires more, and then, as ridiculous as this may sound, at 5 o'clock p.m., 1 hour before quitting time, he goes out again, hires more laborers, sends them into the vineyard to work. So far, so good. Typical Middle Eastern custom. When the grape harvest is ready, man, you just hire everybody you can to pick the grapes before they go bad. And maybe it's the same way today. I don't know. The shocker in this story comes at the end of the day when the workers are to be paid. And everyone is paid the exact same amount, a full day's wage. There's no distinction between the one who worked for 12 hours, the one who worked for 9, the one who worked for 6, the one who worked for 3, and the one who worked for 1 hour. The paychecks are all the same. And the point of the parable here is, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what our life before God is like. God makes no distinctions between the first and the last. Your hard work, bearing the burden of the day and the scorching heat, earns you no greater reward in heaven than the one who barely got his hands dirty or broke a sweat. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So let me ask you, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? I mean, how do you respond to that? Do you like that? Or does something about that bother you just a bit? It's important, I think, to notice here that this is the crucial part of the lesson that Jesus is teaching in this parable. It's not just learning about some new facts, a little bit more information about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wants us to respond to this. Not so that he may see how we respond to what the kingdom of heaven is like, but so that you and I may see how we respond to what the kingdom of heaven is like. I must confess that I do find it rather disturbing that the only response and reaction that Jesus includes in this story is of those who were hired first and who have a real problem with this. Their reaction is, shall we say, far from positive. On receiving the day's wages, the denarii, they grumbled against the master of the house, saying, These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They had received everything that was promised to them. They agreed on a denarius, they got a denarius. And yet they were completely dissatisfied and downright angry now with the master of the house. You kind of get the feeling, don't you, that if the master of the house had paid based on hours worked, they would have been just perfectly satisfied with their denarius. But the real crux to the matter for these guys is, you have made them equal to us. The master of the house is being unfair. He's not making any of the proper distinctions. Now, this, of course, is not the only possible response to the master of the house that could be made, but this is the only response that Jesus brings up in this story. It's the only one that he addresses. And so we want to ask ourselves, who are the students in the classroom? Who's hearing this? Who's he talking to here? Who's it addressed to? And the answer is, this is addressed directly to his 12 disciples. This is his audience. This is the class. These are they who are called first. These are the ones who have worked the longest and the hardest in the vineyard. These are the ones who are going to have the hardest time with this lesson about what the kingdom of heaven is like. They're going to have a difficult time accepting the fact that the chief operating principle in the kingdom of heaven, according to the parable that Jesus teaches here, is all summed up in this one word, and the one word is grace. Grace never looks at the amount of work produced or the hours put in. Distinctions between worthy and unworthy, deserving and undeserving, they simply don't exist where grace is the ruling principle of the day. And this is hard to swallow, hard to accept for those who think that they are above average, that they excel, that they are overachievers in their life before God. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they were so bothered by Jesus' teaching about what the kingdom of heaven is like and that it operated solely by grace. The grace of God, that they grumbled against the master, and they would not be satisfied until they saw the master of the house crucified on the cross. And because they could not accept this, they refused to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The master of the house responded to the grumblers, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Literally, it reads, "Or is your eye bad because I am good? Is your eye bad because I am good?" In other words, why does my goodness make you see red? Why does my generosity to the last make you so hoppin' mad with me that you want to kill me? Why does it work like that? How's it work with you? What is your response to this whole story, this parable, this teaching? How do your eyes see this? As we said, this is not the only possible reaction that the workers could have had to the kingdom of heaven. I mean, what do you suppose was the reaction of those who worked for 9 hours when they realized they got a full day's wage? What was the reaction, do you think, of those who worked 6 hours and 3 hours when they realized, man, he paid us for a whole day's work? And what about that group that came in at the final hour and then realized, man, they got it all? They were paid for a whole day's work. What was their reaction? What else could their reaction have been but joyous surprise and overwhelming happiness and gratitude? For them, For them, the concept of grace was jaw-dropping good news. They would have certainly received their denarii with a deep appreciation for the master. Thanks be to God for this guy. As far as they were concerned, he was certainly allowed to do with what he, as he chose with what belonged to him, because what he chooses to do with what belongs to him is incredibly good and gracious. They would have sung his praises to everyone that they've met, and they would be eager, ready. Anytime he asked them to go to work in his vineyard, they'd be there. Their eye was good because he is good. They certainly did not begrudge him his generosity. And I pray that you and I would not either. For unless the master of the house is able to exercise his right to be generous, we are all doomed. Unless the master of the house is allowed to do with as he chooses with what belongs to him, you and I don't have a chance. Where would we be if any one of us got what we deserved? It is, in fact, the worldly foolishness of this master that is our only hope. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. That's his way, and it's good for us. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And this is a lesson for those who think that they are first. But it is also a lesson for those who think that they are last before God. For those who think that they are first, the lesson is beware, be careful, and repent. All comparisons with others must be put to death, for they lead to pride and envy and jealousy, and this will rob you of the joy of having been called by the master himself to go to work in his vineyard. You have made them equal with us. It will become a wall of separation that will keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And for those who think that they are last and the least in the kingdom of heaven, take heart, fear not, and rejoice. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Give thanks and praise to the Master that he never stopped coming until he finally found you, even if it was in the final hour. Lift up your hearts, that while you were just standing there, idle in your sins, he called you to come into the vineyard, and he paid you the full wages that he earned by bearing the burden of the day in the scorching heat of the cross. He who is the first and the last was paid the full wages for all of our sins, which our works have earned. He was paid with our death so that we may be paid in full with his life. Which reaction to this lesson about the kingdom of heaven shall be yours? As we said, the audience for this lesson is Jesus' own disciples. They were the first to be called to come to work in the vineyard. Peter, on behalf of the other disciples, had just said these words to Jesus right before this parable is spoken. These are the words that Peter speaks to Jesus on behalf of all the rest. See, we have left everything to follow you. What then shall we have? They thought that because they were the first, they deserved a greater reward for their faithfulness and sacrifice than those who would come later and would sacrifice less. Especially that rich young man who had come to Jesus, and Jesus invited him into his vineyard, and the rich young man went away because he could not leave everything behind to follow Jesus. We have left everything behind to follow you, says Peter. Jesus, knowing the danger in such an attitude, and because he loves his disciples, says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. The time was rapidly approaching when these same disciples would see that there was also one thing that they refused to leave behind in order to follow Jesus, and that was their own life. All the disciples would desert Jesus for fear of losing that one thing most precious to them. Even Peter, who thought he had left everything behind, publicly denies knowing Jesus because he cannot let go of that one thing, his own life. They thought that they were the first. They would soon see with their own eyes that they were indeed the last. How will they now respond to this lesson? What will their reaction to the master of the house be when he pays the last the same as the first? In this lesson, Jesus would teach disciples that the kingdom of heaven is founded upon the grace of God, and that the last receive the same as the first, and that all receive everything. Because, and simply because, he is the master, and he is allowed to do what he chooses with what belongs to him, and they belong to him, and so do you. In the name of Jesus.